For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. As always, I appreciate all the support, all the subscribers, followers, all the listeners. It's been a fun journey. When I started this, you know, I wasn't sure where it was going to go or anything, but I just knew I loved the world of collecting. And, you know, obviously we talk a lot of cards on here, but if you've missed any episodes, I've done episodes on sneakers. I've done episodes on movie theater, you know, popcorn tubs and cups that you can collect. I've done comic book, toys, Pokemon, Funko Pops. So if you can collect it, like I say, I'll talk about it. But this episode, I'm going to do another card episode because right now cards are hot. I'm still hearing a lot of stuff from the National. I gave my 2 cents on it the last episode. Hopefully you heard that. If you haven't, go back and take a listen. And I'm going to talk to someone right now. My next guest, who is also at the National, Mike Slade. He's actually a Zion Case representative, and he also works for a gemmint.com. They do grading submissions for PSA. Mike, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate the invite here.
Of course, man. Mike Slade also, we'll get to this a little bit later, is I think he might be the number one rated Kenny Galladay super collector in the world. That's unofficial. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he's got a pretty good Kenny Galladay collection.
Yeah, it's for sure top two. Me and one guy went back and forth for a while, buying everything up. Unfortunately, I was one of the two guys. So now I'm pretty much just stuck with it all. So, but I learned a lot from doing that on what not to kind of do in the future. So it all worked out.
Yeah. A PC is a PC. It's what you personally collect. And if you buy cards you like and enjoy, you can't go wrong. You can't lose money. You can't lose money, but you can't go wrong if you enjoy the cards, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that a little bit later. But me and Mike actually met. We set up at a card show together in Livonia, Laurel Park. We had not known each other, just happened to be tables right next to each other. Got to talk, and obviously we both like cards, and found out what you did also with other card shows and things like that, Mike. So I figured at some point I wanted to get you on the podcast because you got a lot of insight, a lot of cool stories, and you're a really good collector too as well. Joking aside with the Kenny Galladay stuff, I look up and I see that you've got some cool cards in your showcase every time we set up, and you know, you're kind of, I think, you know, for the most part, when to get in and out of cards, and you know, and that's part of the game, of course, is not to lose money. As even though we're collecting for fun, it can be profitable if you do it the right way. So I do appreciate how you look at investing and collecting, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of almost goes back to the Galladay thing. Like, I learned kind of what not to do. Like, I went all in on him as a collection, but now it's like, it's not even enjoyable because of how his career just fizzled out, right? Like, if he was just halfway decent, even like a Marvin Jones, right? His whole career, sure, cool, right? But he really just got paid and then just pretty much quit. So I definitely learned that with my PC going forward now. Like, I still, of course, I'm a huge Lions fan. So, Clark St. Brown, like you said, I'm getting into Herman Moore stuff, but it's like, I'm being careful of what I hold on to and what, like, hey, I can sell now and buy back in five years when he's kind of just like, you know, everybody knows about him, so it's kind of like a normal guy at that point. So, just really being more specific about what I actually keep is like key to what I, you know, do now. So, but I mean, everybody has made some mistakes with Galladay, but like I collected Stafford too, and his stuff went through the moon when he got traded. So it worked out in that end. So.
No one's going to bet 1,000 in this hobby, and you obviously haven't, but you've won more than you've lost. So you just mentioned you were a big Stafford guy because you're a big Lions guy, but the Stafford collector, I don't know if they ever saw that coming like 10, 12 years later, you were able to cash in. Of course, the pandemic was a huge boost as well, and you cashed in big time, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I had just, I mean, he's still my PC. I still have a lot of cards I kept, but it's like what things were going to, at that point, like I couldn't hold it anymore. And now if you look now, I could just buy it all back for, you know, what, 20% of what I sold it for, probably, if I wanted to. Like I had some cards I was into for nothing that just, you know, thousands of multipliers of profit on those. It was crazy. So just knew it was the right time, had to move it. And I'm like, well, no, I mean, now look, I could just buy it back at this point. So if I want it for my collection, so it worked out. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just got to know when to move on from a card mm-hmm. and when to come back. And like you said, if you really enjoy that player or those cards, you're not losing it forever. You could possibly get it back or something similar. So right. Keep that in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, there's rare stuff that you may never see pop up again. Right. So that's the stuff when it's like, man, I should just hold this. I may never have a chance at it again. But some things were just like, you know, a Stafford Topps Chrome Refractor PSA 10, I think was like $1,000. I think they're like, I don't even know. Couple $100 maybe now, if even that. But it's like, I know I can buy this back because it's not a rare card. It was just, this stuff just went so crazy. But so it's kind of how you gotta think about it as well.
So yeah, you mentioned you're a big Lions fan, and you got a good Kenny collection, but you also started, like, I don't know how recent this is, but you've been I've been seeing you post a bunch of really cool rare Herman Moore stuff. Can you mention what got you into that, what you've been picking up lately, and actually throw out your Instagram so people can follow you and see your collection?
Yeah, my Instagram, we'll start with that, is just Canton, like the city of Michigan here, Canton_collectibles. So yeah, with Herman Moore, so obviously the 90s stuff has been so huge. Like you're buying Jordans, which Jordan's 90s stuff is absolutely crazy. But like that got so big and there was like nobody really in the 90s that like I cared that much about. But then like thinking about Moore, it's like, man, he's like what, the number two receiver all time for the Lions after Calvin. So it's like he doesn't really get any love. And then I met him in person at John's store, Pro Sports Zone. Met in person once. He signed a Silverdome seat for me. Super nice guy, funny guy. I'm like, man, like, he got 90 stuff. I could start collecting him, right? Like, it's one of those things. Like, he's always Herman Moore. He did what he did. Like, I'm never going to not like these. So then I was able to get into the PMGs, like, central credentials, all that kind of stuff. And, like, really, he's not that expensive. Like when I saw you at the National, I bought that red PMG that I was going for. So I showed you that. I think I got 6 different of his credentials now. Just kind of like everything I can find, like of the higher end stuff I'm trying to buy up. Just like I like kind of like hoarding the market if I can. And his pops are so low on a lot of things. So yeah, that's kind of where it came to me, which is like somebody from that era that I can actually go back and grab some of that stuff. It's like, I want to collect like Charlie Batch or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he seemed like the guy that made the most sense. And I liked him, you know, when I was a kid as well too. So that's how that kind of started.
No, that's a great PC. And I love hearing about people's PCs that aren't like goats like mine and Jordan. I mean, you find tons of Jordan collectors, super collectors. And you mentioned it already. The prices for someone like Michael Jordan are out of control compared to like other players. So when you go after a guy like Herman Moore, who's in the 90s, so you have that credential PMG, you have rare stuff, but it's not crazy overproduce rare stuff. You know what I mean? Like the base cards are overproduced. We get that. But I'm talking like the numbered stuff. They didn't have it. It's not like now. They didn't have a bunch of the rainbows like they did. So that's like, that's such a great PC, to be honest with you.
And then it's cool because like a lot of like some of the credentials in the PMGs that I have, like I own like half the population of them already. Like, I mean, that's with like 2 or 3 cards, right? There's only like a few more out there. And then also with Moore, he has a lot of new stuff too. Like I have a one of one with him and St. Brown, dual auto. I have like a one of one, Puma patch auto of Moore. So it's like he has stuff in the current optic set too. So I can still buy modern Herman Moores as well too. You know, so it's like kind of covers both in that way. So that adds to it as well.
Very cool. That's awesome. Like I said, check out Mike's Instagram. He's got posting cool cards. It's not just Kenny Galladay, Herman Moore, but just other cool pickups that you have, because you are a good collector, good investor. I always see you, and I know you travel the country, so you're able to look at other collections and card shows, and I know you're on Facebook and on, you know, eBay and whatnot, just looking for cards. So you're always picking up something cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So like I mentioned, you work for GemMint.com and they take submissions to grade for PSA, and you travel the country card shows doing that. So I got to ask, man, you did the Novi show, the Detroit Sports Spectacular. You did the National, like we mentioned a couple times already. What are some of the coolest cards and most expensive cards that you've seen recently? I'm sure you had to have run into some stuff where you're like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the past month and a half is really like been like the best cards we've gotten or best items we've gotten that I have gotten personally or have seen. I'm gonna start off, I'm gonna go back. So the very first show I ever did with them was 3 years ago almost now. And so like I guess a brief story, like what we do is we set up at different card shows, the National, Detroit, we do some collector cons and all that kind of stuff. And people will drop off their PSA submissions to us. That way they don't have to do they don't have to have the membership. They don't have to do all the paperwork or know how to prepare them and all that. We kind of walk them through it, make it really easy. And then you know, kind of provide that service. And then when they're done being graded, they're going to go back to that. So just a brief of how it works. But very first show I did with them was the Mint in Las Vegas. We had a guy, you know, normal looking guy comes up with a rusty can with cards in it. We're like, okay, what's going to be in here, you know? And pulls out a LeBron MJ dual patch auto, LeBron's rookie year two. So it's like, that was like the biggest card we've seen for the longest time, where it's like, didn't expect that. You never know who's going to have what when they walk up to the table. It's almost like a, who says that, Pawn Stars? I don't even know what it is, but it's like that. You just never know what that person's going to have. So that was the biggest for a while, but the National and actually Collecticon kind of blew that out. So the Collecticon, I got like a few different stories here, so I'll kind of go quick, but Collecticon, little old lady wheelchair comes up to me, I'm like, okay, you know, pulls out a letter signed by Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, Robert Ripley, the Ripley's Believe It or Not guy, why he was on there, I don't know, and somebody else. And like, she had no idea what this thing was worth, right? And like, it was going to be expensive to get it authenticated because it's Babe Ruth, the PSA discharges a lot. So she's like, is it even worth, you know, getting authenticated? We're like, yeah, like this is probably worth like over $30,000 if it's real. So like, she went through with it. And I was like, I was nervous for it, because if PSA decides it's not real, so that they say this is fake, you still got to pay.
Yeah.
If they say we know, then it's, you don't have to pay. So I'm like, crap, I don't want this lady to be out $1,000, you know, nothing I can do about it, but I just fell for her, you know? So we walk her through it. The National comes back real. So that was pretty sweet. Just like super nice autograph. It was her dad's, and like the story was cool. So like, just, you feel really happy for the person, you know, like they just paid a lot of money off of something that they didn't
know. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that was awesome to see and like, you know, be a part of. And then two cards at the National, first one was a guy brings a Wemby, the gold sparkle prism out of 24. It was one of 24. So jersey number, if you like that kind of stuff. Brought to our table, wanted to grade it. He's like, it looks great, but there's fingerprints on the back. He's like, can you wipe it for me? I'm like, I guess this is like, there was one at bids like 10K at that time. I'm like, sure. Like I'll wipe, like I wipe my own cards fine, but I don't have $10,000 cards to wipe. You know?
Yeah.
So I do it for him, you know, get it all nice, put in the card saver, get it ready. And he sends it next day at the National. So like, I'm kind of nervous. Like, I hope this grade's okay. I'm going to feel bad. It gets a 10. So that was a pretty sweet card. Like I said, I think it sold for like, it was on eBay. I think it sold for like 25K maybe or something like that. I can't remember what it was now, but he did list it and he sold it. So that was a pretty big card. And I actually like handled it, you know, so that felt good.
You touched that card, man. You touched that card in raw form.
Right. I know. Yeah. It's not like I'm touching a Kenny Galladay here, right? It's, you know, this is a big card. I'm like, pretty nervous, but it worked out. He got a 10. He was happy. I was happy. So that was cool. And the biggest card, we had a guy bring up, I guess it was hitting a break and they were like the breakers for it. The Wemby optic gold vinyl one of one. So we submitted that for him. It came back a 9, but it's a one of one. It's, you know, is what it is. Yeah. But PSA charged them a lot because they charge based off the value of the item, not necessarily just, you know, like some companies are just like, it's $20 no matter what the card is. So they base it off of the Black Shimmer Prism one of one. PSA 9 Wemby did like $515,000 at auction.
What?
So they based the value of that card. Yeah. So they based the value of that card. So they said that card was worth, you know, over $450,000. So we took that one in as well too. So that's the biggest card I've seen like come to our booth. I don't know if I'll ever beat that one, to be honest with you. That one's like, pretty crazy. So
what if you're like just a regular Joe Schmo that just, you know, living almost paycheck to paycheck, you pull something again, a break, right? Or whatever. How are you supposed to afford the grading on that when you still haven't sold the card yet?
Yeah. It happens. We have people who bring high end cards like, man, like I can't afford the grading on this. Like, cause we tell them how it works, like with the value. So, we try and help out. Like, that's more the owner of gemmint.com who kind of does that kind of stuff with the people. But I mean, he wants to make it work for everybody too. So that's kind of one thing that we try and help out with as well too, depending on the scenario and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it definitely happens. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like that old lady, like let's say she didn't have, you know, the money today. I don't have the money for this. If it does come back, you know, like too much, it's worth too much. Like, what am I supposed to do then?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like I said, like they have to, I mean, they essentially are paying us back because we do all the grading stuff for them. But an item like that, like we're going to help them out, whether it be a payment plan, something, you know, like I said, I don't handle that kind of stuff. I just do the show drop offs and stuff, but definitely something that we try to help everybody out as much as we can.
So like, you so, don't,
yeah, those are the craziest ones.
Yeah. Those are some good ones, man. I'm sure. And then there's a bunch probably in between that are like, you know, Mahomes rookie autos or something like that.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Easy those. we do a lot of Pokemon kind of shows. So the Collecticon, they're all over the nation. So those are the private shows we do the most, actually. And a lot of first edition Charizards. One just recently got a 9 that I took in. It looked really nice. It got a 9, so that's a pretty expensive card as well. But a lot of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, with Pokemon, you don't see, like, we haven't any, like, illustrators or something like that. We've had Black Lotus, like the Magic Black Lotuses. We've had a few of those come through, but you're a little more limited with that than you are with sports. But definitely, we see a lot of cool stuff, so that's definitely a fun part.
What about when someone comes up to your booth with, like, a 1991 Skeeter Barnes Tigers base card, and what do you tell that person? Like,
don't yeah, do that's it. Always the toughest. So, like, we're not here just to take your stuff and make you waste your money. So you kind of got to, like, be nice, not like, hey, like, these are junk. You know, I'm sorry. Kind of tell them, like, hey, like, it just doesn't make sense to grade this based on the cost it is to grade the card. Like, if you really wanted the card graded, you could just go buy one, you know, if there's any even out there, like in a 9 or whatever, and just probably pay less than it costs to grade it. So a lot of people are just looking for that education, or like, you know, I was cleaning out my grandpa's house and I found this old box of cards. Like, is there anything good in here? And we just flip through it, try and help them out, you know, give some advice, but try not to take things in that don't make sense. We don't want people to waste their money. So, we do get a lot of that for sure between and Pokemon too. Like, there's a lot of graded Pokemon cards out there. I know like some of the PSA reports show, like, that's one of their biggest categories is TCG and Pokemon, but a lot of those people are really new to it as well too. So we have, like I said, we do the Collecticon, and a lot of people are like, this is my first time ever grading, or they have no idea what they even have. Like, is it worth it? How to even review a card? So, like, they're brand new at it, you know, brand new with it, but we just try to educate them as well as we can, you know, and let them make their own decision. But if it's something that's like, hey, like, this card's worth 10 cents. We get it every now and then, like, don't spend the money to grade it. It doesn't make any sense. You know, if you like this character, just go buy a better card for that cost. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Already graded and you're all set. So yeah, you have to kind of help them through it a lot of the time.
Yeah. They're not all, you know, Babe Ruth and gold vinyls and right.
It's gold. Sparkles. Yeah. Usually not at all. Usually just the common, like me and you, right? Like, submitting the normal cards, and maybe we get to 10 and we make $30. So that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's a lot of people are, but some people have a lot of crazy stuff too, which is fun to see.
So when you're at the gemmint.com booth, and you've been taking in all these cards and you see what the grades come back, you know, do you feel like you've developed a decent eye for, like, what would work and whatnot? Cause I know you submit cards yourself as well.
Yeah, so I don't see a lot of the stuff come back. Like, the stuff at the National was next day, so of course, or next day, or end of show, I should say. So of course, like, I'm there, so it's like, I see the guy come back, like, all right, I gotta see what's your card got. You know, I just helped you out with it, so we see those. But I just set up at the shows. Once the show's over and I go home, like, that's all the owner does, that kind of stuff. So he gets the grades back and that kind of stuff. So I don't see as much, but yeah, like, that's how I first started with it. Like, I've never graded with PSA directly. I've only used gemmint.com from the very start, just because a friend of mine who actually does the shows with me now too, used it, and I kind of followed through him, and it was just such a great process. But yeah, so I grade all my stuff. Like, I'm always dropping off orders. It's just, I honestly love grading, and I love the, it's a lot of fun to, like, it's a surprise, you know, you send in 10 cards and they're done. It's like, all right, did I do good? Did I do bad? Did I, you know, it is a lot of fun to see that. But yeah, I think, like, some orders, like, I had one just pop the other day, and I had, what was it? 6 10s and 1 9. It was like, can't beat that at all. Take that all day. You know?
I was going to say, well, that's why I asked you. I asked you if you had a good eye, because you usually, I mean, maybe the ones I see, but I feel like you get a lot of good grades.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Yeah, definitely more tens than not tens, which is, you know, the name of the game, but I'll send things in sometimes that I think might get a 9 just because I'm okay with it in a 9. Like, sometimes I just would rather sell it in a 9. It's just easier because, like, everybody knows the condition. It's just, you know, especially with the card that's, like, you know, people are going to want to grade it, right? So they're going to be, especially on eBay. So I don't want to say, oh, this has a scratch on it. All right, well, I got to return and all that. Like, if it's a 9 with a scratch, we both know it's a 9. It just makes it easier. But yeah, definitely do well most of the time. Like, I had one order come back like 3 orders ago that was just, I got smoked. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how did I do this bad? But a lot of it, like, you'll hear is, like, depends on the grader. Like, did they have a good night? Are they tired? Are they cranky? Are they happy? Like, it seems like a lot of it has to do with that individual grader to me. Cause then I'll have ones that are like, man, I, like, this card I thought was going to get an 8. I got a 10. How does that make any sense? Like, it's all over the place. Like, you know, like, there's inconsistencies of every company, but yeah, overall it seemed to work out good for me. So every now and then I mess them up too.
Have you ever come across a card where you're like, man, I want to buy this card off of you? You know, when they're trying to submit a card, like, maybe it was a,
Oh yeah. Like, especially the Lions stuff. Everybody shows me the Lions stuff, because all the guys I work with are all from different states, so they know I'm a Lions guy. So you know, I'll see those like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, I think someone had like a, I think it was at the National, like a Charles Woodson, Aiden Hutchinson dual flawless auto. Like those are sweet, like two big Michigan legends. So yeah, a lot of the times I'll see cards that I like for sure. Yeah.
Anything come to the Detroit Sports Spectacular locally that you thought was, wow, this is it. This was in the state of Michigan this whole time and it's been ungraded.
So we had some really cool vintage auto. There's like a Jackie Robinson rookie that was signed. He had another one too. It was a Mays rookie that was signed.
Wow.
I don't know how those came back because I don't know if they're done yet. I could be wrong. I needed to ask my my boss on that one, but those were really cool. And the autos were like really nice. So it's like, man, if these are real, like these are gonna be really nice pieces. We had one guy bring up a card that he didn't drop off. He was like super cautious with it. We're like, what's going on here? Like, we've seen a lot of good cards. You know, a lot of times it's the guys who are like, have like a $100 card and they're like, be very careful. I'm like, dude, like, you'll be okay. But this guy had a Barry Green PMG, Barry Sanders Green PMG. They don't pop up at all. The last one, I think, at PWCC on auction did like 47,000, I think, and like a seven, I believe it was 42,000, something like that. But he was like, yeah, he didn't drop it off. He didn't hardly even want to show it to us or take it out of his thing. But it's like, so that card was pretty sweet. I can't think of what else. We had some really nice cards, of course, like your Jordan rookies, Gretzky rookies. We had some good cards. I can't remember what they were now, but that was definitely the highlight. But,
wow. You know, we didn't take Barry Green. But that's huge, man. There's only 10 of them.
That's really big. Yeah. Because I think the last time it popped up was it 2020? Yeah, don't quote me on that. It's been a few, maybe 22. It's been a few years. So it's like, well, something like that. Barry has such a huge following. I mean, the sky's almost a limit on that card. You know, like you may never see one again for 5-10 years now. Who knows? But don't know what he did with it. He wouldn't give it to us. He was super, like, I don't even know what he was trying to do. But
well, yeah, what was the point?
I don't know. He didn't even like, well, let me take a picture of it. I'm like, this is an awesome card. Like, I don't know. But like I said, everybody has their own way with their stuff, I guess. But yeah, I don't know what he was trying to do with it exactly. But that was a cool one we saw. We did take in a lot of cool cards during that show, but I can't remember off the top of my head which ones were dropped off. But yeah, that one for sure took the cake on him, though.
That's a sweet one. I mean, everyone that listens to this podcast knows that, you know, I collect Michael Jordan cards, and the Jordan Green PMG it's debatable whether that's his best card in existence. I mean, and we're talking right. Michael Jordan. That's a big thing to say, right? So yeah. There's a speculation that people think right now that card went up for auction. It's a $2.5 million card, like a green.
Is it what you said?
2.5 million.
How much? Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, like, when's the last time one's even surfaced that?
I forget. It was like, I think it went for like 200 some thousand or something. I forget. Like, but it was available in like 1999 for like $9,000. And that back then, people thought that was insane. Like, that was, why would you spend $9,000 on a card? Like, that's not even a rookie card.
Same with the 52 Mantle, too. It's like that, you know, you could go in those cheap back in the day and just like, but that's one good thing about the hobby. Like, that's really good that it stuck. Like, 2020, things went crazy, right? Like, you know, MJ rookies were through the roof and they've come, like, everything has come down, but it's come down where it's still higher than it was back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems a little more stable now than so, which is a good place to be. Things are still holding value. It's not like it was in 2016, 15, 14, in earlier, like, it's in a good place, I feel like. And, I mean, there's still a lot of good collectors out there and people with a lot of money that are spending a lot of money on cards like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you were collecting before the pandemic boom because you mentioned how you cashed in pretty good on Matthew Stafford and whatnot. So you've seen this happen. Yeah. People say like the hobby's gone down, but it's gone down from where it was, which is probably unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And it was unsustainable, but it's still higher than where it started. So I think we're in a good spot and things have leveled off to where they probably should be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I think I got in about 2018, I think it was. So that I saw everything just go crazy. There's tons of things I should have sold back then that I didn't, like base card PSA 10s. I'm like, man, this is a $300 card. I should hold on to this. And now it's like $3 probably. So just like, you know, everybody did that. But yeah, it's definitely in a good spot now based on what things are going for. Like, it's not too crazy and like didn't just, you know, completely burst either. So it's still, yeah. I mean, look at the National. Like, National was crazy. A lot of deals I talked to said it was their best National ever. So it's like, I mean, we got Fanatics Fest this weekend, which I'm actually leaving to go to there tomorrow. should be pretty good too. We'll see what Fanatics brings to the table because they're going to be controlling a lot of it next year.
So. I know a lot of people that are going. I'd love to have you back on at some point and get your point of view of Fanatics Fest. They're trying to make it like it's not as much cards as it is. I mean, they have like, I think 350 tables. So there's definitely going to be cards, but it's more of like all the other experiences because Michael Rubin is, I mean, he kind of loves the athletes, right? I mean, this guy is like trying to bring out the biggest stars that he could possibly bring out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like you see the list. It's just crazy. Brady, Manning. I mean, more than that, even I don't remember who else is on there, but those two guys are, you know, I'm a big football guy. So those, you know, stuck out to me, Barry, of course, but so like the list is huge, all different sports, all big athletes. I don't really know what to expect. I mean, I heard the tables are quite expensive to actually set up there from what I heard. But I think it's going to be comparable to the Mint Collective, which was in Vegas. They didn't have it this year because I think Collectible, who ran that, like went under or they did something. I don't really know. But that show was more of a high end, like a business to business type show. It seemed like you weren't looking through dime boxes there. It was all like big showcases with, you know, multiple houses worth of value in every showcase. So maybe this will be like that. I don't know. That's what kind of what I'm thinking, but we'll see. I'm glad I get to go because I think this could be the future of. You know, I don't know. It's going to maybe compete with the National. Like this guy's got unlimited contacts and funds. So we'll see what he decides to do.
Depends. The money can eventually run out though, because if you price out your customer, I think that's where, you know, you get in some trouble. Like I heard it was like over $3,000 a table or something like that. And you're right. You're not putting out quarter boxes. If you're spending $3,000 on a table, you know, you're just not. And then tickets are more expensive to this event than the National because of the autograph list. But by the way, that's separate. You still have to pay for the autographs. Just because you show up, you don't get to, you know, take pictures and get autographs. Those are expensive. So I don't know how this is going to do. I know he wants to spread it out throughout the country, though. I heard Detroit's getting one next year. I think they've done Orlando. They went Dallas, Atlanta.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So we'll see how big this gets and what the pricing is going to be as far as getting in for regular, you know, collectors.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because this one will show a lot. Or like, so this is going to be the main one, but then I heard this year's going to be one in Orlando and I think Pittsburgh, right? Yeah. Like smaller ones. So I wonder if those will be more like hard show based or more like how they're doing this with the athletes and all that. Because if they continue the way with the athletes and expensive tables, then it's not going to get to the point where like a National is or there's any of your big hard shows, like, you know, that kind of thing. It's just going to price everybody out for the most part. So it depends on what gear they take, but also 2025 is going to be pretty telling time depending on what they decide to do when they have all the licenses 100%. I believe it's like next year, right? 25 on that.
Yeah. For basketball, I think it might be 2 years. But for football, I think it's coming up quicker. I'd have to check that.
Is it 2 years? Okay.
Well, they're
pushing out Topps Chrome. Like when it all went down, I knew what was going on.
They're pushing out Topps Chrome now because they want Wemby autographs. But to
me, Topps Chrome, but it's not licensed.
Exactly. It's not licensed. Like, I'm not telling anybody what to do with their money. They can do whatever they want. For me, I don't enjoy buying unlicensed products. I don't care if Wembanyama's on it. It just looks stupid to me personally. Like, you know, I see Steph Curry in a golden blue uniform that with no Golden State, no Warriors on it. You know, I personally don't like it, but I think they're, you know, they want to get their
money. I agree. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it either. There's enough product to go around, like, I don't need to buy that. You know what I'm saying? Like there's enough license stuff I can just get into. Like look at all the prism parallels I have every single year now. It's like ridiculous. So it's like, there's always plenty of license that I can get into that. I don't need to deal with that really. I kind of forgot when they're taking over because it was like, I feel like it's been so many years when that was announced. Right. And I'm like, it's happening at some point. And I just kind of forgot. I'm like, it'll be here when it gets here, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I wish they would have just been patient and wait till they get the license to release that stuff. But like I said, I know they're trying to capitalize on Wemby, rookie year, all that stuff. So, you know, in the end, unfortunately, it is a business still. Well, no matter how much you love collecting, so they got to make money. And so they're trying to make money. And I get that. But something that cool they are doing with Topps, though, I think, is that one of one Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry card. And I don't know if you got in on the 3-day window and bought a Topps Now card to try to get in on it, but that's got a bounty on it of like $125,000 last I checked, but that's probably a $500,000 card, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the bounties that I've seen seem to be way too low based on what people are saying and what things have sold historically, you know? I feel like if that, like, I mean, there's some big LeBron modern cards that are sold. Like, this thing's got to take the cake with it being like Olympics and with the three guys that are on it, like on card autos. But I hope they do more of that kind of stuff. Cause, like, one thing that I'm sure everybody agrees with is like Panini, like, everything's like not even player worn anymore, which player worn was terrible to begin with, in my opinion. Like, I don't really care that they wore it. I wonder if they wore it in a game or in a practice. Like Fanatics having like so much control over all the players and all that kind of stuff. Like, why can't we get like more game use and like, I don't even care if it's practice use, something that was actually worn on the player when they actually did something of their sport, not just sat and signed autographs or they pulled it off a shelf at Target. Like, so I really hope that they do more interesting things like that, or how they did in baseball with the MLB debut patches, right? Like, they actually wore those during that game. You know, those will be part of the card. I think they'll be the most of the card, but like, that stuff's cool to me. So I hope they continue down that road, but we'll see. It's cheap just to throw a fake jersey in there as well. So
it's totally cheap to go to any sporting goods store and cut up anything and just say, and you don't even have to cut up the correct like jersey. Is the color similar? I mean, they just put it on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like if you look at Jameson Williams' NT RPA, it's like a green and black patch. I have no idea where that would have came from. Like, why they chose that, I have no idea. But like, think about like practice, right? They practice all the time. They wear all these towels and gloves and stuff. How hard is it to get that stuff? Like I said, practice use is cool enough to me. Like, at least they wore it, right? Better than player worn. But like, they go through so many jerseys and socks and towels and whatever. Like, it should be that tough to get, in my opinion. But I don't know, especially when you have unlimited funds, essentially, like Fanatics does. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like they could easily do that, but we'll see.
Yeah. So sticking with like the cost theme and all that stuff, do you, I know you buy a lot of singles and things like that. Do you rip any retail product or any hobby boxes, or is this just too risky for you?
Yeah, not really. I just like, I would love to. But it's just like every time I open something, it's like, why did I just do that? Like, I got 4 cents worth of cards out of this. I could have just bought a $30 card that I wanted instead of opening this blaster. So like, only thing really I rip is Pokemon. So me and my kid rip Pokemon. I grew up in the era when base set came out. So like, I still have my cards as a kid. So when he got older, I'm like, man, like, I'd much rather do Pokemon stuff than watch like Paw Patrol, right? Like, it's like something I can relate to. And you can open a booster box of Pokemon for $100. Like, you can't open anything sports for hardly $100, you know, like a couple retail boxes now, and that's about it. So the only thing me and him rip is that, like, almost every set we rip some of. But yeah, sports, not really. I don't have much luck. So like, yeah, it just depends
on your pack luck. Like, if you don't get anything ever, yeah, like, why am I doing this? You're right. I mean, there's a fun factor to it, but at some point it's not fun anymore when you're not getting anything.
Yeah. When they were $20 a blaster, sure. But now you're looking at like $30-$40 a blaster. It's like, I think what did it to me was Trevor Lawrence's rookie year. I opened two, I think, of the Prism blasters. I pulled his orange disco. So like, ideally, I think the second best card I could have hit other than the silver, right? And that hardly paid for two of the blasters. I'm like, why am I even opening these? Like, if I hit, like, I hit the second best card, I'm hardly even breaking even. Like, this makes zero sense. So I instantly stopped and I just didn't even open the third box. I think I still have it, to be honest. But it's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, yeah, after that, I was like, no, I'm good, I think. But yeah, it seems like now some of the, like, you do more with the retail stuff, right? But I think, isn't there like more numbered stuff in there now too? Like,
yeah, I mean,
Select has numbered, but
yeah, it's a ton of numbered, ton of color. And I know they're trying to spray it out so people feel like they got something, you know what I mean? Instead of just getting nothing. I don't open a ton of retail. I do it I like to open up at least one of each product every year just for fun. And other than that, I really don't get into it much. Yeah. I'll YouTube it. Follow me on YouTube, Kang Collects as well. KHANG Collects, just like the podcast. But yeah, I'll do that for YouTube and I do it for the fun factor, but after I ripped like a blaster or a mega of a product, I move on, you know, because the investment's just not there, people. And you got to realize that when you're doing it, and make sure you're having fun while you do it. But if you're going into it.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
thinking you're hitting a $10,000 card, it ain't gonna happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It just, you have to almost like, as soon as you crack that plastic on it, you're at zero. You know, That's how you have to know that in that. Well, as soon as you open that, you're, you know, it's pretty much $0, you know, and if you're okay with that, then sure, go for it. But if you're thinking you're going to hit $1,000, it's probably not going to happen. But I mean, they're out there. People have hit some big retail cards.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.